depression, the way out is our topic, and I have spent probably more time getting ready for this very complex topic than maybe any other presentation I've ever done. I've put a lot of heartfelt prayer into it. I have my own experience. I've been calling people that I know have really suffered, who've had a shadow over their hearts and minds their entire life. And I've asked them, what is it that would be the worst thing that could come out of a speaker's mouth in the topic on depression? Can anybody relate to hearing some things that you just can't believe would come out of somebody's mouth when you're suffering? And what would be the thing that you would really need to hear and want to hear? And I got some very interesting and wonderful input in this. And I also have my own story. I'm not going to take time with it. But I was not raised a Seventh-day Adventist. I came from an extremely violent home and suffered serious and brutal beatings from the time I was very small. And so I started running away from home when I was 5. I don't have a recollection of feeling safe. I don't have a recollection of not being sad. I don't remember waking up being excited about a new day. And so I think this veil was over my own heart for very many years. And so the title of this topic today, Depression, The Way Out, is actually the name of a book. It's a good book, and I remember I would like to recommend this book to those who want to delve further into this topic in terms of a holistic approach to climbing away from depression. I think if I were going to name it in terms of a goal, I would call it Getting Unstuck. Have you ever been stuck? Has your brain and your mind ever been stuck? Have you ever been stuck in a mood? Have you ever been stuck in a mindset? How many of you would like to get unstuck? Unstuck. Everybody can relate to that. If I were going to talk about the process of what we're going to talk about today, the process, it would be restoring and building connections in the brain, with others, and with God. And it is my hope and my prayer today that this presentation will bring some clarity to the topic of depression, that it will bring some inspiration and motivation and most of all hope to anyone who is suffering from flying negatrons circling around their heads all the time. Depression has been defined as a state of feeling gloomy, sad, and apathetic. Now, major clinical depression affects about 15 million Americans, and it's the leading cause, this surprised me, it's the leading cause of disability in the United States and Canada, even ahead of heart disease and any single cancer. It is increasing by 20% in our population and in Canada every single year. It is described as an episode of sadness or apathy along with multiple other symptoms that last at least 2 consecutive weeks and is severe enough to interrupt daily activities. I think most of us have experienced disappointment in life. Has anybody in here experienced disappointment? And you know, if we don't learn how to deal with disappointment, it can degenerate into discouragement. And if we don't know how to get out of discouragement, then it can devolve into depression and despair and finally self-inflicted death. It's a leading cause. Suicide is a leading cause of young men from age 12 to 20 in the United States today, and it is climbing. So it's an important topic. I would like to quote from an author. We're just taking a few minutes to understand what's going on in your head with clinical chronic depression. Dr. John Rady is a neuropsychiatrist from Harvard University, and he has written a couple of books. One is called A User's Guide to the Brain, and the other is called Spark. And it's about getting a spark in your brain from exercise, the effects of exercise on the brain and other body systems, other mental health issues, including depression. And I would like to share what he says about what's going on in the head of a person who is suffering from clinical depression. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. There's a lot of judging going on when people fall into these states. And the last thing that a person would want or need to hear is, well, we all have ups and downs, just get over it. And so we want to know how to think about this disorder, what it means, how it affects us. There are so many different types of depression, and there are numerous causes, and we're not going to go through all of those, but we're going to talk about principles today. But this is so fascinating. Depression is an erosion of connection. It's an erosion of what? Connections. What kind of connections? In your life as well as in your brain, your brain cells. There are distinctly different types of depression, and actually depression mimics the flu. I spent a day at a seminar with a specialist called a psychoneuroimmunologist. They study, you know, these specialists know more and more about less and less. And he was one of those people. And they study the link between the stress system, the immune system, and the brain, this brain-body connection. Do you think there's a connection between the brain and the body that we need to be aware of? Absolutely. So, when a person is experiencing a decline in mood state, there are flu-like symptoms that occur. Can you name some of those flu? Without the fever, what do you feel when you have the flu? Do you have any motivation? No. Do you have any energy? Can you creatively solve anything? Can you be joyful? Do you have body aches and pains? Do you have appetite problems? Sleep problems? All of these things are flu symptoms, and your brain is literally putting you into hibernation when you are experiencing this depression. There are physical alterations taking place in the emotional circuitry. So is it just a psychological problem? Now, can it be driven by emotional state? Can a mood or an attitude or a lifestyle promote and promulgate depressive symptoms? We're going to look at some of those things. So these are alterations that take place, and a shutdown, winter time, is occurring at the cellular level in the brain. So there's lack of energy and motivation, appetite and sleep, irritability, inability to concentrate or experience pleasure. I have talked with people that have such serious depression they couldn't put a key in a keyhole. When the emotional landscape turns wintry, our neurobiology tells us to stay inside. Victims of depression become trapped in a loop of self-hatred, hopelessness, and worst of all, apathy. Apathy. No energy. Anhedonia. No ability to experience pleasure or joy or happiness. The devil loves it when people are depressed. There are many causes for depression, but Satan is at the root of everything that is evil and joyless. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. 75% of people who suffer this type of serious depression also have other conditions going on. Now, if this was all there was to say about this, that would be pretty depressing. And I would be tempted to go and eat something fried. Just to cheer up. But fortunately, that is not the end of this story. I want you to leave this building full of hope today, even if you're not in a better mood. And that is possible. You can be rebooted. God has engineered you and me for renewal, recovery, and restoration. Are you thankful for that today? I didn't choose the environment that I was born in. I didn't choose my genetic deck. I didn't choose any of those things. I had no skills for anything growing up. The only response to any kind of threat that I knew was to run away. That's it. That's all I knew. Got into serious trouble. By the time I was 11, I was running away chronically. Got into the horrible lifestyle of a runaway and ran away for good when I was 17. The only reason I kept my grades up is because I would hide in libraries. And I would study. I would read books, but I didn't read books in my spare time, I'll tell you that right now. I did every single possible thing that would incline a person toward complete self-destruction. I'm so thankful today that the Lord is in the business of restoring train wrecks. What do you say? So here's what happens. Here's how God has built backup systems into your brain. Backup systems. Redundancy. New nerve cells are born in your brain every single day. Can you say thank you, God, for new brain cells? And especially in the regions that are affected by depression, the hippocampal area of the brain, which has to do with learning and memory, the frontal lobe, which has to do with executive function, the amygdala, which has to do with emotional memory, lifestyle choices, attitudinal discipline. Have you ever heard that phrase? Attitudinal discipline, social and spiritual nurture actually stimulate powerful growth factors that encourage new nerve cell growth, increase connectivity between cells, and nerve cell survival. These are brain growth factors, vascular growth factors, fibroblast growth factors, and insulin-like growth factors. I am so thankful that we are able to move forward in our lives regardless of our background. You know, some people can't relate to anything I've said so far. You were born on third base and you were born cheerful. And just because you were born on third base doesn't make you a good baseball player. And just because you were born in the dugout doesn't mean you can't play the game. Amen? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I'm really, really thankful for that. These growth factors actually put the brakes on cell destruction in the brain. Would you like to know how to stimulate those growth factors today? Would you like to know the keys to this? Now, just to put a big picture frame around this, depression can result from physical, mental, or spiritual causes. You don't hear a lot about spiritual causes in the literature, but they're there. They're very real. King David was depressed because he had unconfessed sin in his life. Jonah was depressed because he was running from the call of God and living a life of disobedience. Elijah was depressed because he was tired. He ran into the desert, actually ran into a cave and shouting hallelujah and singing songs was not what he needed. He needed two meals and a nap. And that's what he got. Solomon was depressed. He had everything he wanted, and he was the wisest man on earth. And yet he suffered one of the worst cases of depression ever recorded in human history because he lived in excess. Is it possible to live in excess even with good things like work? Is it possible to overwork yourself into depression? Overthink things into depression? Over be interactive in other people's business into depression? Overstimulated into depression? You know, some of us have, I'm sure most of us have thought at one time, you know, if I would only win the lottery, then I would be happy. I'd have everything I'd need. I wouldn't have any problems. And King Solomon, he won the lottery. He had everything that he could possibly want. I did a little research. 70% of people that win the lottery lose everything that they've won. Hundreds of millions of dollars within 4 years. Do you know what the main statements are coming out of these people? 70% of these people that get everything they want say things like, people you love turn into vampires. I wish I'd torn up my ticket. I squandered it and lost everything. I'd have been better off broke. Suicide rates go up in this population. Drug addiction goes up, even in relatives who are given too much money. They have their possessions stolen, they're robbed, they're shot, cheated, and exploited. I think we can agree with Solomon's father, David, when he said in Proverbs 30, verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with my proper portion. How many of you would just like a proper portion in life? Whether it comes to meals or whether it comes to your temporal necessities. Well, how many of you have ever been berry picking? Has anybody in this room ever gone berry picking? Down in Berrien Springs, have you ever grown your own berries? We grew raspberries at one time. We'd go out and pick raspberries for breakfast. It was just fabulous. Well, when you go berry picking, here's a berry bush right here. Have you ever seen a berry bush like this? Here's a blueberry. And we have picked a blueberry. How many blueberries are in the bucket? One blueberry. I don't even think Martha Stewart could make a good cobbler out of one blueberry. And so what we're talking about today as we go through this are some depression hits and some depression help. And if you look at advertisers, they're very good at picking out one thing that's going to fix everything. But I'm here to tell you that one thing doesn't fix everything. And in fact, some people don't get fixed. Always work with your health care provider. It is possible to feel wrong and do right. God gives us the energy, and it's a miracle. It's not all about failing, and it's about feeling. As a matter of fact, the opposite of depression is actually not joy. It isn't. The opposite of depression is resiliency. It's the ability to tunnel through problems until you get to the lighter side of things, until you get to solutions. God actually uses trials to build character and resiliency into our lives. So we're waiting to get happy when there won't be any problems anymore, but God allows problems to grow us into resilient people that aren't depressed. We're problem solvers, but we can't do it picking one thing. You know, I remember a lady coming to one of my meetings very frustrated, and she said, "I've been eating walnuts for 3 weeks, and nothing has happened. I don't feel any better." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, imagine how you'd feel if you weren't eating them." I don't know what to tell you. If you want to have a good cobbler, you've got to have what? You've got to have a bucket full of berries. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about all of the facts. Now, is it possible? I wouldn't let my little granddaughter Amelia get her hands on this bucket, because what do little toddlers love to do with things that are in buckets? What do they love to do? Now, you may have been born with a bucket full of berries, but can you toss them and wave since? That's what happened to Solomon. He squandered all his berries. But I tell you what, I'm a scavenger. I need all the berries I can get. And that's what we're going to go over today. Because I want each of you to have a heavenly cobbler. How about that? Let's talk about some depression hits and some depression helps. And by the way, I am going to touch on most of these very lightly. There are a couple I want to land on quite heavily. One of them I want to land on is the factor of trust as a hit. I want to talk about faith versus feelings as a hit. I want to talk about attitude as a hit and a help. And so some of these others, although they're all equally important, I want to touch on some lightly, because if I spend too long, you'll get depressed. And we can't have that. So some depression factors and hits include genetics and family history. In other words, what is the difference between genetics and family history? Family history means you can be taught behaviors. You can be taught to behave in a depressed way, but you're not basically a depressive person, but this is the behavior that you've been taught. It's called shadow symptoms. And so what we have learned, we can unlearn. What our genetic liabilities are can be compensated for and even overcome. Are you with me? That doesn't mean that some people don't need interventions. It doesn't mean that some people might not even need medication. But would you agree with me that when we take advantage of every berry that God has for us, that we can reduce the intensity and severity of symptoms? That we might even delay the onset of certain conditions or eliminate the need for medications altogether? Would you agree with me that when we follow the principles that God has given us, that we will be on a path of improvement? Does that sound reasonable and fair to you this morning? Okay. Medical conditions. Always work with your healthcare provider. Conditions like Cushing's disease, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, pro-inflammatory conditions, all are directly related with chronic depression. Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, certain medications actually are causative agents in depression. It doesn't mean that there aren't circumstances where you need them, but these are hits. And if you combine enough of these hits, you could wind up with a major depressive episode. Toxins, pollution, lead, mercury and dioxin exposure directly associated. There are situational depression. Everyone in this room is here because God created need in your heart, probably through a crisis. And so situational depression is very real, whether it's loss of a loved one, loss of a limb, a disappointment, a major disappointment in life. It's one thing to have an ink stain on your favorite shirt. It's another thing to lose someone that is dearer than life to you. And so we face these kinds of situations in life. Trauma, abuse, chronic stress, crowding and isolation, all very potent factors in depression. Lifestyle factors, very, very critical in the fueling or the dialing down of depressive symptoms. Diet, exercise, sunshine, water, rest, relationships, social isolation. The heart health consequences of social isolation are equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and it's directly associated with chronic depression. We need social ties. We need each other. Mental culture, is that important? Disciplining our minds, the kinds of things that we focus on are going to change us. Trust in God, very, very important. So I want to just touch on diet, the standard American diet. I call it the chips, chops, and lollipops lifestyle that actually promotes cellular changes, which encourage brain cell death, hyperinsulinism in the brain, which just destroys, it eats out these areas of the brain that should be producing these new nerve cells to get you well into your old age. So these repeated poor food choices, according to experts, actually change the way the chemistry of the brain operates, including the structure and function, so that you become a victim of mood swings, food cravings, and other emotional problems due to diet. And that's what we've been focusing on in our Food for Thought class. There is not just a sad diet available, there's also a glad diet. God's luscious, abundant diet. God's luscious, abundant diet. Rich in dietary fiber, greens, antioxidants, nutrients. These foods actually have a crunch factor, and they are very healing to the brain. In fact, this is a statement from biological psychiatry that nutrition intervention, where do you get your nutrition intervention? At the produce department, with beans and fresh fruits and vegetables and greens and seeds. These things are powerful medicines. Food is medicine. It says it may benefit psychiatric conditions and countless aspects of well-being. How many of you can say, God cares for me today, and He shows me through the colorful foods that He has provided for me? That is a message of love from God, that He loves us and He wants to provide us with trees, healing leaves from the tree of life, even on this earth. How many of you would like to take advantage of those healing leaves? I want to talk for a moment about exercise. This is really powerful. From Dr. Rady's book, Spark. Exercise adjusts the chemistry of the entire brain to restore normal signaling. It lights up fire on every level of your brain, from stoking up the neurons, metabolic furnaces, to forging structures that transmit information from one synapse to the next. It regulates neurotransmitters targeted by antidepressants. It wakes up the brain. So it wakes you up from what? From apathy. It wakes up the brain and gets it going and improves self-esteem. It improves mood, feelings of wellness, jumpstarts the attention system. These are all flu-like symptoms from inactivity and lack of movement. And so here is something that we can do, even when we don't feel like it, that can begin to reverse this degenerative process that occurs in the brain under chronic stress, negativity, and even our attitude can create this process of degeneration in the brain. But it is also true that when we begin to exercise the part of our body that doesn't go dead when we're so depressed we can't move. I remember being in bed in this condition one time after the loss of my husband, and I literally did not have a will to get out of bed. I couldn't move. And I would work all day long. I was in ministry. I loved the Lord. But I was so depressed, I wanted to die. I prayed to die every single day. I would work by day, see beautiful magazines and tracts. I would work by day and ask God to stop my breathing at night. And finally, at the end of about 3 weeks, I was so upset with the Lord that He hadn't granted my prayer yet that I said, Lord, even if my living would cause me to win souls for Your kingdom, I can't. It's too painful. I don't want to live. Please stop my breathing. And I was sure, I respect God too much to take my own life, but I was that depressed. And I was so sure that I had crossed that line that I went to sleep just knowing I wasn't going to wake up. And to my absolute shock, I woke up the next morning. I was just shocked. And I heard this gentle voice in my heart and spirit. And it was a Bible verse. David said, I had almost fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. The thing I appreciated about that verse so much is that the Lord didn't say, snap out of it. He said, if you will only believe that you will see my goodness. That's the only step I'm asking you to take. I'm not asking you to feel it. I'm not even asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to believe that you will see it. And I said yes. And I stopped praying for things to be over. And actually looking back on it, it was a very self-centered, bitter, self-focused prayer. But God understands that level of grief, and He's there to meet us. Amen? Sleep is another issue with depression, and lack of sleep selectively targets the highest order of mental functions and decision making. When we are fatigued and missing sleep, falls to chance levels. You have a 50-50 chance of making a good decision when you are sleep deprived. That's pretty incredible. When we pray for wisdom and then stay up till 2-3 in the morning. And guess what? Here's the wisdom. Go to bed. God has given you reasoning faculties. That's part of what it means to be made in His image. And I'm thankful for reasoning faculties today. How about that? And we are to strengthen those reasoning faculties by the choice, because we give glory to God when we protect our reasoning faculties. And that brings us to media. Media is a hit on the brain. I don't think anybody's surprised hearing that today. Media. Americans spend more hours with media and gaming than any other activity besides sleeping. And the plot doesn't just thicken, it thickens. The way in which this media is delivered has been called gunning or shrapneling, machine gunning, with scraps of information and images and music. And this creates a hit to the brain that actually results in discontent, boredom, fatigue, and tension, and increased anxiety and even fear. Now, I'm not against all media, but would you agree with me that we have become inundated with images and vulgarity and immodesty that is shocking, and we have lost our sense of shock? We've lost our sense of shock. I remember one time I was turning the channels to get to something like, you know, a program on deciduous trees. Okay, very nice. And along the way, it stops at a commercial, and the voice says, you could have drug-resistant lice on your eyelashes if they are thinning. And then you look, and there's this image of these translucent bugs magnified 1,000 times. I went tearing into the bathroom. I'm losing my eyelashes. I think I have lice. So much for the deciduous trees. I'm looking. I think I feel an itch. I better get that cream. Stay tuned and hear one tragic story. You know, I think they're running out of topics, honestly. They are running out of topics. I hear people talk about the creative scripting in programs like The Simpsons. Are you kidding? Vulgar, filthy, disgusting program that we are showing our children. Watching things where human beings are imbued with omnipotent power, I'm telling you, by and by, an offended God will speak. Parents, grandparents, guard your children. In Ezekiel chapter 9, there is a destroying angel that goes through the sanctuary, begins at the sanctuary with the elders, with the destroying angel. And it says, and the message to those angels is, do not spare men, women, children, maidens, because someday sin will be no more. Let's not raise our children for the devil. Let's give him a black eye, amen, and keep him out of our house. Grandmothers, grandfathers, that television is not a babysitter. And if we don't have time to read a book, then we shouldn't be babysitting those children. We have a responsibility to lead these precious ones to Jesus. Amen? Let's talk about mindset and outlook for a moment, and spirituality. I think that two of the biggest challenges in overcoming depression or even being successful in life is overcoming negative thinking and learning to trust God and His Word regardless of feelings. Would you agree with me that those are the two biggest hits? I mean, I can eat berries. I can go for a walk. But overcoming negative thinking, is when it's habitual, it's a real challenge. I did a week-long series of meetings down in the Berrien area, and the person that hosted me there, Pastor Harry Rogers and his beautiful wife, Ingrid, he was really sick, and there was a blizzard outside. And he came downstairs, he was, you know, oh, just a mess, and of course, I always am thinking the worst. You know, some of you understand what I'm talking about. You know how the mind can just take you to a place. Before you end up here and then work your way backwards that you're going to live when you get a stuffy nose. And he came downstairs, he said, you know, I think I'm getting better. And I said, well, you could take a turn for the worse, you know. And he said, no, I'm getting better. And then I said, I looked out the window, it was snowing. He's so cheerful. It's like it's almost sickening. I looked out the window. I said, you don't actually think we're going to go out in this weather, do you? I'm from California. It's snowing out there. There's ice. We could catch our death of cold. We could get pneumonia. I could just see myself hooked up to all kinds of tubes or in a ditch somewhere. And he said, this is nothing like the blizzard of 78, sure we're going. He gets in the truck, he's doing donuts in the parking lot. He's 10 years older than I am. What is wrong with this man? And his wife is German. She's going, Harry, slow down, Harry. You're driving, Harry. You know, can't believe these people. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And some people actually don't think this way. But I praise God that we can discipline our thinking in a new way. Amen? We can discipline our thinking. In fact, 1 Samuel 16:1, Samuel had invested so much time, so much effort into Saul. And Saul just went the wrong way. He just went off. And Samuel was grieving and mourning and grieving and mourning. And the Lord came to Samuel and he said, how long will you mourn for Saul? I have a plan. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and I have chosen someone to do something. How long will you stay stuck? I want you to move on. And part of being stuck in life, part of depression, is not moving on. We all have regrets. We all have things that we wish we had done. We all have things that we wish we had not done. I think I have apologized for everything but existing to my family. I made a lot of But at some point, you have to move on. God wants you to move on. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 3, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Do you think he means what he says? To comfort those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise instead of a burdened, heavy spirit. That they may be trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. Let's spend our last few minutes talking about these healing steps. And you're going to find out that these healing steps have actually very little to do with feelings. Feelings are overrated. Amen? Feelings are overrated. No matter how you feel, get up, dress up, and show up. How many of you will say yes to that? You got to show up for life every day because life is calling you. Number one, come to Jesus. Number one, come to Jesus. No matter what shape you're in, come to Christ. It is a lie of the devil that you're on your own, that God has abandoned you. You are too beat up, burned out, broke, or bad to approach God. You can trust Him with your life even when you're stuck in a situation. You don't know how you got into it. You don't know how you're going to get out. Don't hide from God. You can trust Him to show the way. Acts chapter 3, verse 26 says, "God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you." How many of you would like to receive and accept that blessing? Not for somebody else, but for you today. And here is the blessing. In turning every one of you away from his iniquity. You don't have to turn away from iniquity before you come to him. Go to him as you are. Tell him what your problem is. He invites the restless, the murmuring, the oppressed, and the sorrowing. Go to him just as you are, sinful and polluted. He will accept you the very moment you give yourself to him. Our high calling says he will put his Spirit into the humble seeker's heart. The Spirit of the healer will be in you. The comforter, the strengthener, the lifter up of the head, the one that can give you the greatest miracle in brown wrappers that ever existed, and that is the Spirit of perseverance. To go forward when you don't see the light. To do what you're supposed to do when your feelings aren't there and you don't have energy. This is what God will give you. I love to watch my little Amelia, my little granddaughter, learning to walk. How many of you have seen a little baby learning to walk? God has put an instinct in those babies to get up and walk. And it's a cliffhanger watching them. I mean, she has such a strong little personality. She would stand up and fall over. She would bend over and wham, right on her head, get right back up. She'd be walking, walk through a pair of slippers, and boom, she's over. Into a coffee table, cut in the corner too soon. Once in a while, she'll sit there and scream out of frustration, but she just gets right back up. God has put an instinct in babies to walk. Amen? It's a good thing they're short, isn't it? I mean, God, you know, it's just like, really, this is bad. If it's tall as me, going to... And so when you receive God's Spirit in you, He puts an instinct in you to survive. It's a miracle. Because we want Him to solve all our problems and so we can be joyful all the day. But that's not the way it works. He's either going to solve your problem or He's going to make you bigger to meet it. And which do you think is going to happen more as time goes on? Option one or option two? Because He wants to strengthen your character. He wants you to glorify Him. He's looking for people that can reflect Him in a miserable circumstance. Amen? Any volunteers? So number one, give yourself to Jesus. Number two, do not confuse faith and feeling. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the things that you don't see and might not get." A feeling, this is from our high calling, a feeling of assurance is not to be despised. We'll appreciate that. We could praise God for it. But when your feelings are depressed, do not think that God has changed. Praise Him just as much because you trust His Word, not in feeling. You have covenanted to walk by faith and not to be controlled by feelings. Feelings vary with circumstances. You may be so depressed you can't even move, like I was in that bed that day. You know what the Lord impressed my heart? There's something that you can move, and it's your mouth. Start praising me. You can move your eyeballs. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. That brings us to number three. Declare what you know, not what you feel. Declare the truth, not the lies of the enemy. And do what God says. Take his hand and do what he says. As the man thinks, the mouth moves, and the man goes. Nuclear power under your noise, under your nose, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes we just whistle for the devil to come and get us. Oh, I'm having a bad day. You know, I don't get any respect around here. Why can't the family keep this house nice? My husband, he's sitting watching the games, and I just, you know, and the kids are a mess, and I have to do all this cleaning, and I just can't control my feelings. I'm just so upset. And then the doorbell rings, Pastor West. Well, Pastor West, praise the Lord. We're fine. Come on in. Children are playing. Husband's relaxing. Come on in. Let me fix you something. Yeah, we can control our feelings. Number four is really important. Choose powerful, not pitiful. Self-pity is life in your eyelashes. Sometimes we whistle for the devil. Don't let a loose tongue, negative attitude, and uncontrolled thinking give the devil a foothold. Because once he's got a foothold, it will become a stronghold. The Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror. And I'm going to share with you a little story right now. Johnny Erickson Tata, you all know that name? She broke her neck at age 17 in a diving accident, became quadriplegic, can't move from the neck down. She has a worldwide ministry distributing wheelchairs throughout the world to disabled children and adults. She paints beautiful paintings with a paintbrush in her mouth. One thing that I did not know is that people that have quadriplegia still suffer from agonizing pain. Did you know that? I did not know that, but they do. Well, she's been a quadriplegic for 40 years now. And here is what she says about this. Almost every morning, she has a struggle with her faith. Worldwide television, radio ministry, helping millions of people. I've had people tell me when I'm going through depression, just help somebody else. Get your mind off yourself. I mean, just, my whole ministry is helping people. Please know, she says, I am no expert at this wheelchair thing after 40 years. I am no professional at being a quadriplegic. There are so many mornings when I wake up and I hear my girlfriend come to the front door to help me get out of bed and get ready for the day. I know that in a few moments she's going to come gliding into the bedroom with a cheery good morning. And I am lying there with my eyes closed thinking, God, I can't do this. I'm so tired. I don't know how I'm going to make it to lunchtime. I cannot do this thing called quadriplegia. I have no resources for this. I have no strength for quadriplegia, but you do. You have resources. You have strength. I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I have no smile for this woman who's going to come in and help me in a few minutes. But she's chosen to come here and help me. May I borrow your smile. May I borrow your smile. And just as he promises, he hears the cry of the afflicted. And before 7:30 in the morning, he has sent joy into my heart. I can greet her with a happy hello, borrowed from God. Now, what do they say about possession is 90% of ownership, right? You keep borrowing from God enough, and pretty soon it becomes what? Becomes your own. She says, resist the devil who loves nothing more than to discourage you and corrode your joy and use you to corrode the joy of others. Take up your cross daily. Follow the Lord Jesus. Now, she says, I must qualify that statement. Please know that when I take up my cross, I am not talking about my wheelchair. My wheelchair is not my cross to bear. Neither is your cane or your walker your cross. It's not your dead-end job or your irksome in-laws. Your cross is not your migraine headache, not your sinus infection. I had a sinus infection and a migraine when I read this. It just felt like punishment. It's not your stiff joints. That's not your cross to bear. My cross is not my wheelchair. It's my attitude. Your cross is your attitude about your dead-end job and your in-laws. It's your attitude about your aches and pains. My complaints, my grumblings, anxieties, worries, resentments, or anything that hints of a torrent of bitterness. These are the things that God calls me to die to daily. For when I do, I become like him in his death, dying to those sinful attitudes that he died for on the cross. But I also experience his resurrection. I get to become like him in his life. I get to experience the intimate fellowship of sharing in his suffering, the sweetness and preciousness of his presence. I become holy as he is holy. Oh God, you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Do you crave the presence of Jesus Christ in your life today? When I cry out to him in my affliction, he injects his peace, power, and perspective in life. He imports a new way of looking at your hardships. Amen? A new way of looking at hardship. He puts a song in your heart because we're forgiven, friends. When I think of what my record would be if I had to stand on my own before a sin-hating God, I would turn into a raisin right now. I can hardly take it in. It's so amazing. If I never get another answer to another prayer for the rest of my life, the fact of his amazing forgiveness is so incredible to me that I can sing no matter what my mood is. Amen? We can become that sweet fragrance of Christ in this world. He wants us to have hope and not helplessness, deliverance and not despair, steadfastness and stability. Stability releases ability. There's so much ability in this room, but when we're unstable, God can't release it in our lives. He wants you to be not stuck and sinning, powerful, not pitiful. The last weapon against hell, how many of you would like to give the devil a black eye today? How about double? The best weapon against hell and depression is praise and thanksgiving. And that's the last thing you feel like doing when things are going wrong. It has nothing to do with emotion. It has nothing to do with being a masochist and loving torture. The Bible says that no trial for the present is joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, it is going to yield righteous fruit. Amen? The Bible, and this is a compilation here, is incredible. All scripture, make his praise glorious. Make his praise glorious. This people I have formed for myself, they will show forth my praise. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. It shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By who do we offer the sacrifice of praise? Who do we borrow praise from on a bad day? Who do we borrow smiles from? Who do we stop our mouths from gossiping about others from? Ellen White says, we think with horror of the cannibal who feasts on the still trembling flesh of his victim. But is even this practice any worse than the backbiting and backstabbing that goes on in the church of God? It's enough to shut his presence from us. Backbiters are classed with haters of God. Lord, seal my mouth. And in Christian circles, we call it a burden. I have a burden for so-and-so. Let me tell you about it. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. It has nothing to do with feelings. Sadness is not a sin. Depression is not a sin. It's what you do with it. It's how you work through it that God is calling us to collect the berries, the lifestyle pieces, doing what he says to do, when he says to do it. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. I will praise the name of God with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I have a choice every day. I can either magnify my problems or I can magnify God. How many of you would like to make a choice today to magnify God in your life? And when troubles come, it's an opportunity to see how deep our walk with God really is. He's in the business of showing us our faults. He says, learn of me. Why are we shocked and depressed when he shows us a fault? When he comes to us and he shows us our weakness, our sinful character. Ellen White says, don't be afraid of the converting power of God. If this should tear your character to pieces, he will return it to you refined and sanctified. I'm not embarrassed anymore about making mistakes. I'm embarrassed when I try to hide them. Jesus said, learn of me. And there may be some of you today who have not fully understood what it really means to give your entire life to Jesus Christ. You thought that giving your life to Christ meant it's going to be cherry festival every day. But the miracle is that he will strengthen you in the hard times. How many of you would like to respond to this call today? That you want that deep walk with God. You want that character. You're not going to shy away from trials. That you will not nurture self-pity any longer. If that is your decision, I would just like to invite you to come up here and join me. That's my decision today. If it's your decision, God has spoken to your heart today. You want a deeper walk with God than you've ever had before, through good times and bad. Just stand to your feet and join me up front. And the Spirit of God is speaking to hearts today. No more bitterness. We're going to choose to be better, not bitter. No more whining and distrusting God and flipping out and getting into rebellion when things don't go our way. Amen? Humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up out of depression, out of despair. He'll show you what to do. It has nothing to do with feelings. How many of you want to spread cheer to fellow suffering human beings? You've been selfish, self-focused. Oh, dear God, forgive me for being the center of my life all these years. I want to be thinking about somebody else besides myself every day. Amen? Dear Father in heaven, your Spirit has spoken to us through your word today. And we just are so grateful when you show us the life that clings to us, the life that brings us down. Thank you for the keys to recovery, keys that require discipline, that require looking to you, Father. Thank you for the trials that help us to see our need. We cannot solve our problems. We cannot get ourselves out of a mess. Thank you for your amazing, incredible love. We've slighted your mercy. We've ignored you. We've rejected you. We've chosen our own way and thought about ourselves almost continually. But dear God, those days have to be over because you are coming soon. The destroying angel has come to wipe out sin and sinners forever. We are grateful, but we want to be found on the right side of the issue as vessels of mercy and love. Melt our hard hearts, I pray. Be with us, dear God. Help us to no longer slight you. Put that craving in our hearts to pursue you like a child who has to walk no matter what. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.